May the meditations of my heart and the whispers of my lips be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Amen. Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I must begin this sermon with an apology to those of you that are cat people, because I don't have cats. I have dogs, so my stories come from having dogs. I will have to visit more with you and talk more with you and maybe even get a cat at some point so that I can share cat stories with you. But here's a dog story. I don't know if you've ever seen a dog chasing its own tail. I don't know if that's something that cats do. Oh, they do? I thought they were smarter. Okay. Well, so if you ever seen, it's a very funny thing to watch the dog chasing after its own tail, and it goes in circles and circles, and it can last quite a while. And it makes you wonder if they are just playing or if they really think that that tail is something else and they're trying to chase it and to trap it and to make it their own, not knowing that it already belongs to them. Which reminds me of a story that Martin Luther liked to tell about faith and about love and about generosity. And I think he borrowed it from somebody from Aesop's fables. But it's the story of a dog that found a steak, a big, juicy steak. I might have shared this story already with you. And then the dog grabbed the steak, took a bite of the steak, and then went running away. Of course, you got to run away from other dogs, maybe a few cats that will attack you, and go to the lake. He went to the lake. And then when he was in the lake, he looked down at the water. And then right there, on the surface of the lake, guess what he saw? He saw a steak. He saw a steak, and it was very big and juicy. It was bigger and juicier than the one that he had, he thought. And so the poor dog decided to go for it. And so he opened the mouth, and when he went to take a bite of it, what happened? It was gone. So the dog lost the steak that he had and the steak that he was going after. Isn't that what the life of faith is like? Don't we go chasing after things that God has already given us? And in the process of doing that, we end up losing what we already had. I had a friend, my compadre, who's a pastor in Puerto Rico. And he tells a story of being serving in a community where some people engage in shady practices, let's say. And at that time, it was in vogue to steal cars' batteries. And so one morning, my friend woke up, and his car didn't have a battery. Somebody had stolen the battery in his car. He had an idea of who had done it. You know, when you're a pastor in a small community, you kind of know people. And so he was not surprised when that same day somebody came knocking on his door. And it was this person. And when he opened the door, the person said, "Pastor, do you have need of a battery? Because I have one and I can sell it to you for a cheap." Isn't that how, to use the symbol of the symbolic language of the Bible, isn't that how the devil works? Isn't that how the enemy of the soul works? He tries to make us sell what we already have to possess what we already had, and in the process, we lose it. Isn't that how it operates? In the Christian tradition, they call that concupiscence. And concupiscence, people that have heard that word, usually they think of it in relation to sex, but it's not exclusive to sex. Concupiscence is that hunger of the heart for power, for recognition, for money, for, as Jesus would say in today's parable, for being the guest of honor, for being in front row. It is that concupiscence of the heart, it is that hunger that leads us to misuse the blessings that God has sent us. It is that hunger of the heart that leads us to try to find meaning for ourselves in the arms of a lover, or in shiny possessions, or in glamorous lifestyles, or in careers that promise to give us a big name, recognition, but that we really hate. But we do it anyway. I really believe that it is concupiscence. I really believe that it is that inordinate hunger that we have to feed ourselves with power, with money, with recognition, with sex, with pleasure, with desire. I think it is that hunger that is ultimately responsible for the wreck that we see in the world around us. I think that it is that inordinate hunger, that is that concupiscence of many of our political leaders around the world that rather than serving the people, they serve themselves of the people and then end up creating these big debts that are unpayable for the people. I think that we see that in some of our corporations, that rather than achieving a nice balance between I profit and I help the people, it's all profit only, to the point of taking things that are needed by some people to merely live, to just survive, and they want to squeeze a profit that is excessive. No problem with profit, but the problem is when it's excessive and it comes at the cost of other people's lives. I think that that is at the root of the wreckage that we see that is going on around us, the refugee crisis, the homelessness around us. So if the problem can be described by a dog, I think the solution also should be described as a dog. So I need to talk positively about animals as well, because animals are God's creatures and they also teach us. In fact, Martin Luther said that one of the best examples of faith that he ever saw, he saw in his dog. He said, whenever I arrive home, my dog is what do you say, wagging the tail? My dog is always happy to see me. And my dog always trusts that I will feed him. My dog is always ready and eager to see me, trusting that I won't harm him, but that I will feed him. And that's what faith is. Faith is not, at least in our way of thinking, for the most part, in the Lutheran tradition, faith is not belief. Faith is not assenting to a series of doctrines or teachings. Those doctrines or teachings are helpful, but what faith is the trust of the heart. It's a relating to God as a dog relates to its master, to its owner, to its father or mother, as some people call them. Trusting that God will provide for us what we need. Now, I believe that ultimately, that is really the solution to the problem of concupiscence. When we learn that God cares about you, when we listen to Jesus who said, look at the lilies of the field and the birds, they don't stress, they don't have anxiety, they don't toil, and yet God feeds them and dresses them more beautifully than Solomon. When we believe that, when we trust that God will provide for our needs, then we are liberated to care for our neighbors. Then we are free to look around and see our neighbors in need. See, in Puerto Rico, there were lots of dogs on the streets. I didn't go jogging in Puerto Rico, so I must confess that now I'm fine, but I used to be scared of dogs, very scared of dogs. And there were lots of dogs just living in the streets in Puerto Rico. That's the way that it was back then. And I was always scared that they would attack me. Now people change. Somebody raised consciousness of the people. And now it's intolerable to see a dog in the streets. I think that that's the case here as well. Well, I yearn, I pray, I dream of the day when that will also be true of homeless people, that we will just not tolerate seeing somebody who's homeless, that it will just be a scandal and that we will have to help them. I yearn, I dream, and I pray for the day when we will not be able to tolerate situations like what's happening in Syria, what's happening in Central America, that we will simply not accept that as the status quo, that we will just move and do something about it, knowing that God has our back, that God is taking care of our needs, and so we can then help others. We can open our hands and help others. That is my prayer. That is, I believe that is the teaching. And Jesus says today that when you throw a party, that you should invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, those that cannot repay you. And he says, then you will have your reward in the resurrection. I think that there is a little surprise there. I think that the reward that you receive in the resurrection is not like a pat on the back saying, good job, you've been great. I think that when you really live by faith, expressing love, the reward that you receive is that on the day of the resurrection, you get to see the people that are now suffering happy. You get to see that those that are now hungry are being fed. You get to see that no life was lost, but that everything was preserved in the hand of God, and that every life that was cut short too soon will flourish and will find its fulfillment in God. That will be our reward, that we get to see that. And that's what we should work for. Amen.